Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Greetings, friends, and welcome to another episode of the She Said Project Podcast. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk. Hi, Carrie Rosso.
Hi, Carrie Rosso, co-founder. And who says greetings?
I just did. You have a problem with it?
Yeah. And when I say who, I meant you, but no more. Don't say that. Who says greetings?
Okay, do we have to do this over now?
No, go ahead. Go forward. I'm sorry.
Just greetings. We're very fancy. Greetings.
I don't want to say the same thing each and every time. It gets boring. All right. We'll start over. Well, welcome back, friends, to another episode of the She Said Project Podcast. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk. What's up, Carrie Rosso?
I'm so excited to be here today. One of my favorite humans on the planet is in the house.
Carrie, that's very exciting because you started the She Said Project back in 2013. The whole purpose of the mission
was women supporting women, women exchanging stories.
Right.
We basically wanted, you know, I'd spent my whole life awkwardly standing on the circles of women, on the periphery of women telling their stories. And now I still get to stand awkwardly on the sidelines, but now I just hold a microphone up so that everybody can hear the stories.
So there are many ways for women to share their intimate personal stories. But what you helped create was a series of live events, live on stage, one night only, women from the various communities getting together and bravely sharing a personal story from their life's experience. We call it That's What She Said. Right. So we have some wonderful stories that have been shared on the That's What She Said stage. And here on our podcast, we like to dip into our archives and revisit with one of our friends who shared a personal story because everyone has a story. And by sharing and by listening, you know, there's great relief in the telling of our stories to each other. We are women supporting women here at the She Said family.
Well, the thing with Amy is in her community, she's a mover and shaker, and everybody sort of knows her for, don't laugh, I know Amy's going to want to make a joke about this, but don't do it. We have her in a box of what, when you say Amy Armstrong, people will immediately think of the top two or three things that she does in the community. And I wanted to know the story behind the story. So we challenged Amy to talk about something that no one would expect her to be talking about and to be vulnerable because she's kind of a badass, you know? And so when she's out there sort of taking the world by storm, and I would say Amy Armstrong is going to be in this year's cast, people would say, is she going to talk about A? Is she going to talk about B? Is she going to? And I took so much joy in being like, ha ha ha, no, no, no. And it was so great to see her not only sharing a story that so many people connected to, but to see her, I'm sorry, but to see her vulnerable and to hear her voice crack and to hear her talk about something that she isn't comfortable and that made her step outside of her box. Sorry, so, I keep saying I'm talking about your box, Amy.
She had to go there.
Sorry.
Thanks, Carrie. Well, Amy's here with us now. How do you feel about what Carrie's sharing, that you are known in your community for being an advocate for certain things, and you were forbidden from sharing the most known stories?
When Carrie first asked me, I think it was the first year she came up with it, I just said, I'm such a cliche. Let's not roll me into this. I helped behind the scenes the first year. It was really fun to help her navigate it and kind of put the show together. I really enjoyed helping other women tell their stories. So the next year when she asked me, I said, yeah, you know, I think you've got a good foundation here. I watched how this went and I'll jump in. And I knew that people expected me to talk about disabilities and talk about navigating life with a child that has significant catastrophic, life-changing disabilities, or maybe our family even. I don't know what they thought, but it was interesting when I stood on stage and said, everybody knows me as this advocate, but I'm here to talk about. And I heard sounds in the audience of people actually being excited. I could hear it. I could feel it from the audience, like, oh, this is going to be something new and different. So that was exciting to actually feel that come off the audience back to me. And it gave me more strength in order to get through it.
Yeah, we do encourage the women to share the story behind the story or the untold story, which is exactly what you did. So we've got the clip from the live show in 2014. Amy Armstrong, part of the Champaign-Urbana 2014 cast. Tell us real quick, what was the topic of your story that you ended up sharing that night?
So I reached back into, I am divorced. I have been divorced for a long time. My son was 2 when I started navigating that world. And there's so many single parents out there and so many women stepping into the world of getting divorced and navigating their children through that divorce. And you don't really hear about those stories because you do keep them close to the vest. It's painful. It's grieving for a long, long time. Do I change my name? Do I not change my name? You're punished in so many different ways just for going through something that happens every single day. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was my journey with my son and how I was attacked for my parenting, challenged for my parenting, and navigating different households and different sets of rules. And I call myself the house of accountability. So my husband, Andy, and I have a very structured household, a very structured life. And it was challenged because when you're trying to co-parent with somebody that doesn't necessarily co-parent the same with the same values or the same set of standards, it's hard.
So, Amy, there's lots of parents who can relate to a story like you shared on stage, if that's what she said. So we're going to play the clip from the live show. This is Amy Armstrong sharing her story, Get a Grip.
Many know me as a passionate mother of 4 and an advocate, especially as an advocate for one of my children who has significant special needs and disabilities. But what many do not know is that one of the biggest challenges I have faced is navigating the world of a teenage boy. My firstborn was laid on my chest moments after 36 grueling hours of back labor, and I looked into the vast ocean of blue eyes, blonde-haired perfection. And our souls met. And I knew for this, I would step in front of a bus or a bullet. 2 years later, after a traumatic divorce, my sweet son Chase and I were solo navigating life together. And I protected him with all of my heart. And this plan worked for about 14 or so years, during which I remarried an amazing man named Andy. I had 3 more children. And I thought I was doing really, really well at co-parenting. Now, all children have their own set of special needs, typically developing or not. Teenagers are a challenge under the best of circumstances. And within the setting of a divorce, it can become filled with landmines and quicksand. I began to notice in every picture of my son and I together, my hands were clenched into him with a death grip, which I sadly realized was a mirror of my current parenting style, because I was going to save him from making poor choices, and I was going to keep him safe with that grip. In most post-divorce situations, instead of going to court to settle your differences, most states require parents enter into what's called mediation, and that's how you resolve your issues, is in this mediation. I entered mediation in early 2011 because I was going to tell some people what they were doing wrong and what they needed to do to fix it when it came to parenting my son. Part of that mediation process involved my talking with a therapist and a child psychologist. And I was asked to make what I like to call my angry, bitter list. Write down moments when I felt that my parenting and my relationship with my son had been interfered with. So I started that list with the first time that my 5-year-old was kept from me on Mother's Day. My list grew, and I started to see my insults and injuries and my pain on paper. And I spent many months in mediation. And what I learned was that I was knee-deep in a battle to keep my son safe, when in reality, I was losing the war. I had a PhD in passive-aggressive behavior. I was your dinner party conversation killer. Here comes Amy to tell us what all the kids are doing wrong. Don't want to sit next to her. I'm all in. I'm all in. I get it. And I had failed Chase, most of all, because my advocacy looked very different with him. Advocacy looks different in all situations. And sometimes it can look like you're giving up, when in reality it's you getting a grip. I agreed to my child leaving my home in the spring of 2011, and I sent him to live at his father's house full time. And in January 2012, I trusted my gut instead of my heart, and I cut off all communication with my child. Mediation had failed to vet a successful co-parenting relationship. I prayed harder for him during that time frame. I forgave myself, and I figured maybe I would see him when he was 30, when he figured out that I was not the devil. And my heart was broken in a million little pieces. And I really thought for a while that I might die from that sadness that sat in my chest every day. My favorite author, Stephen King, once wrote, great parenting author. It's horror. He wrote, there's no bitch on earth like a mother frightened for her kids. And I was frightened. And I was a bitch. However, in the mediation process, what I learned is that it's an inside job. The only thing I could control at this point was me, my reactions, and my behavior. The person that had to get a grip was me, and I had to get a grip on me. I apologized to my husband, Andy, because I had the crushing realization that I had allowed outside forces to enter our home and control my behavior. I had spent 14 years being reactive, not proactive, and I recognized the symptoms and post-traumatic stress within me. I drew the walls closed around my family of three girls and the sweetest husband ever who loved me in spite of it all. I changed. I was the one who had much to learn. And I made apologies not just to my husband, but to friends. I made amends where I could, I owned whatever it was, and I apologized and asked for a clean slate moving forward. I still had a lot of self-doubt and fear, but I stood strong in my conviction of protecting my marriage and my family, and I started the healing process of ensuring that I become a wife and mother and friend that I needed and wanted to be. Which, by the way, is a never-ending process. I still have to be careful of my resentments. I'm still grieving, and those can control my reactions. I never again want to hear my son cry the way he did on a March spring day, just 2 months later, when he called and finally within the sobbing uttered, I need you, Mom. And he came home, and together we healed. And I love you. I have my son's full blessing to share this part of our journey with you. And in working on this, it was suggested that I talk about some ideas if anyone else is doing this. If you're a mother struggling to connect or reconnect with your child, forgive yourself and remember to trust the process. Trust your gut and never let anyone else derail what you know to be true about yourself and your child. Mediation is one of the very best tools for any aspect of life. It's not just for post-divorce issues, and it works. And most of all, you are not alone. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith and no net appears, and you hit every single obstacle on the way down, and you smash right into rock bottom. But then you can begin to pick yourself up, dust off, heal, and just keep it moving. I am Amy, I am a woman of faith, a woman of hope, and I wish that for all of you as well.
So wow, I have chills from that ending, Amy. What an important and great story, and how vulnerable for you to share that parenting is hard.
It is. It is one of the things that I loved about the end of her piece when she was saying, you know, sometimes you leap and the net isn't there, was really powerful to us, because when my co-founder Jill and I started the show, we kept saying to each other, leap and the net will appear. And when Amy said that, it was so true. Like, sometimes you leap and the net doesn't appear immediately. And you're like, bam, 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 bam. And you hit everything on the way down. You're like, wait, somebody promised me a net. And so that really, I just thought, wow, like, that's true. It isn't always a pretty package.
No, and you are hurt. And that's kind of, I always go back to that with no matter which narrative I'm working in, that grief is probably centered at a lot of our growth issue. You know, it's an opportunity for spiritual growth. So, but you're hurt, you're damaged, you've hit every rock, and you are smashed to pieces, and you feel like a bag of glass. And that is how I felt for so long, and people didn't know it. And I would hold it together. And, you know, Larkin in and of herself is a tough, that's a journey that I'm on. I'm happy to be in it with her. It's hard. It absolutely pulls at every part of my skin. But with him, it was different. With him, I couldn't control the things that I could control with her. And he challenged me. And I always tell people, if you think that she's hard, let's talk about that typically developing kiddo that isn't responding to how I wanted things to go. And there were days I really felt like my chest was going to just break. My heart was breaking. And you have to let it go. You have to give it up to the Holy Spirit and just figure at some point the net's going to show up. Maybe.
Now, it's been a few years since you shared that story. How does this story resonate in your life today?
It's actually still current. You know, there's been bumps. There are still bumps. Currently, I am sitting and waiting for a large rock to be moved. And I had to, again, roll my shoulders and take a deep breath and think, okay, this is not something I can currently control. I have to take a step back. And until I have someone in the space with me that can help me navigate, how do you tell your truth to your child when it impacts the other parent? You can't always tell the truth because you don't want to harm any of that relationship. But it's my truth. It's my story. And I am a very different person because of it. And there's things that I have recovered through therapy that I realize I will no longer tolerate. I will no longer allow in my life. And my boundaries are very clear. And how do you bring a child into that is affected by that boundary? So I'm still navigating, which all parents do. I think as our children get older, and I keep thinking more time has to come. His development has to come. His own story has to be told in his way. He has to figure that out. And if it somehow merges back in with me, great. I'm all in. I will do everything on my end that I can to participate in what I should to heal that.
We always say it's never too late to rewrite your script. And I think about that in parenting all the time. You're constantly rewriting the script and you're constantly renegotiating. The script that worked when our kiddos were little is out the window, and it changes all the time. You just have to go with it. It's so hard to accept if you're someone like me, like, wait, we wrote the script. We're all going to stick to it. And no one's listening to me. But you rewrite it and then you renegotiate, and things that you were willing to put up with 5 years ago, suddenly you go, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I don't have to do that.
Right.
And you don't have to do that.
And right. And you have to be careful how you navigate it when you are talking about their other parent.
Shared
because
history.
Because that's his parent. And I don't have the right to intervene in what his perception of that relationship is or what his reality of that is. I can only share my truth, my reality of what that relationship was and is today. And you have to do that in a thoughtful way, because you can't disparage who he is at his DNA level. So I just keep thinking, if I live by example, you know, he's one of four. I have four children in total, and the other three are doing just fine. And I know that's my benchmark. Like, I keep doing the next right thing. And I know that at some point he will find his truth. And when he's ready to hear my truth, then maybe we can do that in the capacity of shared realities and then find a new way out of that.
Did you find value in being vulnerable and sharing this story on stage? Did you find camaraderie or support from women who truly, truly listened and said, I know what it's like to go through what you're going through?
It was shocking, I guess, is a word. Surprising. No, I was pretty shocked by the amount of emails and outreach through complete strangers. I sobbed through the whole thing. I completely connected with what you're saying. I'm going through this right now. I thought I was alone. And women, I'm finding out we don't talk about menopause, and we don't talk about things that we're going through that physically make us feel bad. We tend to just sweep it under the rug and figure out, okay, how do I climb out of this, and never think to reach, other than your girlfriends, your girl posse, how many other people are going through the exact same thing. There was so much feedback that said, thank you for sharing this. And I do give, there are women that will say, I'm going through a divorce, tell me how I do this. And I always tell them, it's like a flight of stairs. You can stand at the top, throw yourself at the bottom, you're going to break every bone. Take it one at a time. Sometimes you might take three steps, you might slip, you might go back up a step, you might go down three steps. But eventually you're going to get to the bottom, and do it thoughtfully, carefully, and don't get hung up on don't take possessions as something. Sell the dining room sell everything and take the money and run. Take money and rebuild your life. Because that is the currency that women forget about. It's not your dining room table. That stuff doesn't matter in a divorce. It's your children and how you're going to be able to navigate it with the currency that you need in the real world. And we forget that. So those are some pieces I talk about with women that have done that outreach to me. And being vulnerable. When people would ask me, how did you start the whole process of Larkin's Place or the why and all of that? And it took me a long time to understand. I was just vulnerable. I told them my truth. I told them my story as much as it hurt. And there's times that I cry when I tell that story. I cry when I talk about the story with my son. It's so painful when you are navigating these hard subjects that when you're in the midst of it, and I'm still in the midst of it.
Well, and your honesty, I'm still so grateful because, you know, don't judge your insides by someone else's outsides. And it would be easy for someone who does not know you well to think, dang, she's got it all together. Like, what can she know?
Look at her beautiful, charmed life.
Right. Look at that sexy beast. But that's what makes it so awesome is that you stood up there and it's like, everybody's got stuff. Everybody.
Everybody has a story. And as you say, that's one of your taglines is women. And I'm probably going to push to, I've got this tickle in the back of my head. It was women that actually will try to take other women down just to try to get themselves move forward. Or they try to, it's either leveling or pushing them aside. I don't need to be less so that you feel like more.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I'm here to help you, and you should be wanting to help me. And I laughed because I think I told you this story when I was pregnant with the twins and Larkin's in the back seat. And I had from my window up, some guy gave me a cat call. I'm like, oh yeah, dude, you want all of this. If I opened this door right now with a $3 million baby in
the
back
baggage.
Seat and the two growing inside, you would quickly change your cat call to a scream. It would just be an utter guttural, oh my God, scream.
I got some for you.
Yeah, so it's, and I'm the crier. That's what a lot of people don't know. And there's different boards I sit in where they just laugh because I am the emotional one typically in situations where if something hits me, I'm going to need Kleenex for the most part. Now, sometimes I don't, or I control it enough that I have to unpack it. And I'm an introvert. A lot of people don't know that about me, but I have to reset constantly to find my space, find my time, recenter so that I can help others, which is really ultimately what we should want in this life. We need to help each other.
Well, I'd love to say you made it through this whole conversation without a tear, but there may have been one or two, but thank goodness no one can see you right now.
That's why I like doing these in person versus on the phone. It's
right.
Easier when you come in and you see each other.
But we loved that you took a chance and did stand on a stage sharing this very powerful story, and you weren't afraid to cry, and you really did have an impact on the women in your community. We want to thank you for sharing with us now, because our goal is to empower more women to be brave, to be vulnerable, to share their stories, to stand up and say what they have to say. So thank you so much, Amy Armstrong, for joining us today on the She Said Project podcast. And friends, join us each week where we're going to share more live stories from the She Said archives. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast. in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. Learn more at sterlingwealthmanagement.com.